fight for self-driving supremacy in Silicon Valley and beyond is fierce. Google's Waymo division took a settlement from Uber that left some scratching their heads, though. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton speaks with an expert on trade secrets and how this settlement might play out. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. We've been covering, along with everybody else, self-driving car technology for years. It's an ongoing story, and it mixes a science fiction mythology with a bare-knuckle fight for the right technology, speed to market, and, of course, regulatory approvals. It's a glimpse into Silicon Valley, sharp elbows, talent poaching, personal rivalries, trade secrets. Waymo took Uber to court over what Waymo alleges was the theft of proprietary technology to give Uber a boost into the self-driving car market. They say Anthony Lewandowski pinched some 14,000 documents when he left Waymo. In early testimony during the trial, founder and former CEO of Uber, Travis Kalanick, testified that the engineer he poached from Waymo was a brother from another mother. The texts and emails do indeed show a bromance. But as the witness list was just getting going, Uber settled the case. A shocking turn in a blockbuster legal case that could set the course of self-driving cars for quite a while. Waymo accepted the $245 million settlement offer, as well as Uber's statement of regret over the self-driving car dispute. Uber maintains that it thinks it did nothing wrong. Now that the waters have settled a little bit, we asked a reporter and digital security expert to help us make sense of the settlement, and that starts now.
Mike Swift, I'm the chief global correspondent for privacy and data security for MLEX Market Insight.
Mike, you were in the courtroom when the settlement was announced between Waymo and Uber. What was it like at that moment?
Well, I think people were really shocked. I mean, there were audible gasps. I think probably most of them came from the journalists in the courtroom. But, you know, the lawyers were all looking quite, there were a lot of smiles up in the front of the room, and we probably should have seen a signal from that. But it was a really total surprise when Charles Verhoeven, who's the lead attorney for Waymo, got up and said, "Your Honor, we have a settlement."
I think one of the initial reactions that I saw was the amount of the settlement. Have you had time to process how much it came through? I think it was somewhere around $250-260 million.
The settlement was actually 0.34% of Uber's equity. So the dollar amount depends on, you know, what the valuation was. The $245 million number was based on the $72 billion valuation, but there have been lower valuations. So, you know, if Uber wanted to argue that the settlement was less, they could try and make that case.
Yeah, I've seen it too. I think there's some filings that would back up a lower valuation of Uber at the moment. But
yeah.
Also, Waymo was seeking injunctive relief. Did they get any?
We don't know exactly all the terms, but there is some sort of agreement in there that Uber is going to be blocked from, you know, using any trade secrets, and there are stronger protections for Waymo's IP. And that was something that was being negotiated right in the final hours, apparently. Earlier in the week, we and other media were able to confirm that the settlement had been as high as $500 million. That was turned down by Uber's board. And apparently Waymo, in getting the lower number, was able to get stronger IP protections. So that was sort of the back and forth that was going as the settlement negotiations finalized last week.
It sounds a little bit like a split decision.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that, you know, this was something that both sides could point to, that it was a bit of a win. You could argue that this is really the first big win for Uber's new CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, and in that this could have been so much worse for Uber, that if this trial had gone on, you know, conceivably you would have had the very damaging testimony from Richard Jacobs, who is the former Uber security officer whose lawyer had written this letter, you know, talking about the secret unit within Uber, which was designated to steal competitors' trade secrets. And, you know, none of that happened because the settlement was done. You know, at the same time, from Waymo's point of view, there's this old saying that, you know, hold your friends close, but hold your enemies even closer. Well, Waymo now owns another chunk of Uber, so that's about as close as you can get. Clearly, these are companies that are going to be competing going forward, but they're actually real frenemies now as well in Silicon Valley terms.
I saw an early Uber investor tweet right after your tweet about the settlement that his take was Larry Page didn't want to testify, and that this bought them off for not having to do that, to settle for so much less than they originally came in at, for Waymo came in at. Yeah. I took that as kind of like maybe some mudslinging or maybe some early cheerleading or something. But at the same time, it does make me think the witness list that was coming up had a lot of heavy hitters on it, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, both Larry and Sergey were on there, so the co-founders of Google. Larry, who I have seen testify in earlier trials like the Google Oracle trial, he clearly does not relish being on the witness stand. So is that true? It could be true. I'm sure he was not looking forward to having to testify. You know, who knows? Maybe that was an element in Waymo's decision.
Okay, so what do you think is next for these two companies moving forward? And what about the technology?
They're going to continue to develop LiDAR, and hopefully things accelerate now that there's less infighting. And, you know, Waymo's challenge is to actually get a product in the market. There was some really interesting testimony. The first witness was Waymo's CEO, and he talked about how, you know, he was a car guy. He had worked for, this is John Krafcek, and he had worked for Hyundai and Ford. And his marching orders when he was brought in to run Waymo was really to get a product in the market and to scale. And so, you know, the test is going to be really on him to see whether he can pull that off.
Mm. My quick take on this would be that Uber probably could have settled this earlier in the process and saved that army of lawyers and that cost that came with it.
I wish we knew how much it was, but, you know, right. I'm sure it was easily $50 million on each side. I mean, given the volume of the filing and the size of the legal teams and the firms that were involved. So, you know, but that's the cost of doing business and in Silicon Valley, and we see it over and over again.
Mike, what's your next assignment?
Oh, I think net neutrality is going to be heating up this spring, so we're looking at that. There's an interesting case I think we're going to be writing about how the Supreme Court may be considering whether dead people's emails should remain private. That's an interesting case that just came out of the Supreme Court of the state of Massachusetts. So there's no shortage of things to look at, that's for sure.
Very true. So let's talk again soon, Mike. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
That was Mike Swift. He's chief global correspondent for MLEX Market Insight. That's MLEX.com. Analysts have different takes on the settlement, with many thinking that Uber should have settled earlier. The full terms of the agreement have not yet been disclosed. Uber's recent earnings report shows that it is getting closer to profitability. It lost $1.1 billion in Q4 2017 on around $11 billion in revenue. That beats its prior quarter loss by $300 million. The ride-sharing company is priming itself to IPO sometime next year, according to its new CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi. Khosrowshahi has been cleaning up after Kalanick's stint as CEO, which saw at least five criminal investigations of Uber. Early investors are hoping for a strong exit after years of scandal and shuffling of executives, including board members. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. You can find us several places online, so here we go. We post a story that goes with each week's show at kgoradio.com. In it, there are all the sourcing and links that we use to scrub our scripts. We also post the music we choose on facebook.com/techonomicsradio. And I'm on Twitter. I'm at KGOJason. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm host and writer Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Thank you for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.